All right. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. We're going to call this the after show. I haven't done something that I've called the after show in quite some time, but I'm going to talk about things that are less theological, shall we say. Oh, I'll give you a theological tie-in. But we're going to talk about Russia and war with Russia. I've been talking and writing about war with Russia since at least 2019. Now we're 5 years later. Where's this war with Russia? Are we at war with Russia? We're going to talk about that. Also thought I'd dig into a little bit into alternative communications, if you will, ham radio and general mobile radio service. Why? It interests me, and I have some thoughts about it. I'm no expert on anything, but I'll throw that out there for you if you want to nibble on that as well. You've heard about the, I guess you'd call it a terrorist incident, the attack on the mall in Moscow, 150 plus dead, at latest I heard. It's interesting. You can get on Telegram or some of these other channels, and you can see them interrogating these terrorists, and it's not a pretty sight. 130 people. Right now, the British government, as far as I've read in the open press, is supplying the Ukraine with advanced cruise missiles. I think they call them Storm Shadow cruise missiles, which are having a devastating effect on the Russian Navy in the Black Sea and on various points of infrastructure with inside Russia. The little French guy, Macron, he has been agitating to send ground troops into the Ukraine to fight the Russians for some time. And he's still doing that. One can speculate on whether or not there are other NATO allied forces already in Ukraine. Probably yes. I think the answer is probably yes. How they do that is a different story. Do they, you know, do they go in under? How do they do that? How do you get our special forces in there doing it? I don't know. I'm no expert at that. But that's, you know, it's a plausible thought to think that U.S. military is already operating in the Ukraine. According to the open press reports I've seen, they're already there using some of our advanced systems, HIMARS, and I'm sure the intelligence agencies, of course, because that's what they're paid to do. The war, unfortunately, does not seem to be winding down. The U.S. Congress has balked at sending more money there. That's yet to be seen. They seem to have something over the Republican Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. He seems to have been bent to the will of the Democrats. He gave them everything they wanted in this latest financial bill, including funding all kinds of just flat-out evil things, LGBTQ. Why would you fund that? Why would you even fund that? Why would you fund it domestically or overseas? Anyway, that's going on. And apparently he's talking about another $60 billion to the Ukraine. Now, there's a war between, and Russia, by the way, just upped its hand. He said this is no longer a special military operation. This is now a war. We are at war with the Ukraine. And that radical alone is significant. And you have people on the other side, not me, by the way, not me, saying, well, Russia... Russia's the enemy and Russia's the bad guy and Russia needs to be punished because they invaded a sovereign country and now we need to destroy Russia. You know, it's interesting, and this goes back to the theme of, you know, who runs this country? And the answer is it's not you and I. It's not you and I. Nobody asked for a war between the United States and Russia in the United States. Unless, of course, you're Victoria Nuland, recently retired a State Department long-time senior person. She's been agitating for this outcome for a long, long time, according to all the press reports I've been reading. So you've got a group of people that are agitating to take down Russia. Long-time goal, take down Russia. Russia's not part of the international world order. We have to take down Russia. We have to calm Russia down. We have to take him apart and make them submit to the global order that we're building. The global tyranny, in my book, that they're building, the global Babylon the Great, there's your theological input on that. You got empires that seethe and rage against each other, and you see the empires as the beast seething and raging in the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. Seething and raging in envy and jealousy and greed, yearning to dominate and cause the submission of others. I won't get into the usual suspects for all the evil in the world, but I just note that there is a war out there. There's a European war. There's a general European war. I remember listening to George Friedman, five, six, seven, 8 years ago. If you don't know, he is global. You'll figure out who he is. If you're listening to this podcast, you can probably figure out who George Friedman is. Geostrategic Futures, something like that. And he was talking to this European audience. He says, hey, listen, you may not want war, but war wants you. What's going to look like for you if there's a general war in Europe? And these kids, you know, sipping their lattes, 20s and 30s, and, you know, even their parents had never been to war. And he said, you may not want war to come to you, but war has a way of happening. It's part of the world's makeup. There's wars. There's been so many European wars. I said, don't think for a moment that it's impossible for you to experience a war in your lifetimes. And as much as I've hoped that this war with Ukraine and Russia was going to slip away, perhaps if we defund it, it'll just go away and Russia will do its thing and Ukraine will suffer the consequences and the rest of us can move on with our lives. It's literally not my problem. It's literally not my problem. But there's people out there that want to, in my opinion, use Ukraine to break Russia. Now, this Zelensky character, he's an interesting character, and I won't go into all his aspects, but he was literally an actor, a comedy actor, a TV comedy actor. The dude did crude comedy. He ran in an election, campaigned on peace with Russia. As soon as he gets into power, he bends to the will of the State Department, and he turns around now they're at war. Did everything he could to provoke the Russians in the eastern Ukraine, in Russia's historically Russian territories where it populated 80, 90% Russian-speaking peoples. And he got his war. And the United States backed him, costing hundreds of thousands of people. We're sending equipment over there. Word has it that F-16s are underway. The Russians are sending, I don't know, Storm Shadow cruise missiles. The Germans have sent tanks. The Americans have sent tanks. The Americans are sending HIMARS missiles. Who is Russia at war with? Clearly, if the United States wanted to stop this war, all they would have to do is shut down the funding and stop sending stuff over there and tell Zelensky, hey, you got your money. Get out of there. Go retire in the Swiss Alps and shut this thing down. But even with Congress saying we're not going to spend money, and for some reason, there's people itching for a war with Russia. Macron, the British, the Americans, not the people. This elite group of people that runs these countries. Somehow there's this elite group of people that just seems to run these countries. Either that or they have their allies that are not in their tribe, but they've sided with them. Now imagine if there was a couple neighbors living in your average suburban neighborhood and, you know, they lived across the street from each other and for some reason or other they hated each other and they started shooting bottle rockets at each other just because they're immature children and they thought that would be a cute thing to do. And then the neighbors up and down the street said, hey, you know what? We don't like Johnny over there across the street from us. We're going to send all of our bottle rockets to our ally over here. And we're going to spy on that guy across the street. We're going to tell you which targets to hit over in his house. And this guy, he ends up with unlimited bottle rockets. He keeps shooting bottle rockets across the street at that guy's house. At what point does that guy say, you know what, I'm not just fighting the neighbor across the street. I'm fighting five or six neighbors all up and down the street. When do I get to start firing bottle rockets back at them? Now, some of those neighbors are saying, you know what? I hope he does it. I hope to God he goes ahead and he fires a bottle rocket at me, because as soon as he shoots a bottle rocket at me, I'm going to bring out my shotgun and start sending birdshot across the street at him, hoping that he takes the bait. I don't know. I kind of think this is some of the calculus that's going on between the United States, Russia, France, England, Poland, Germany, Ukraine. Let's fund this fight. Let's give them billions of dollars. Let's give them technical expertise. Let's give them high-grade weapons that they don't have. And let's keep upping the ante until we can get a serious provocation out of the Russians. And then we can all gang pile on the Russians. I don't know. That's kind of what it looks like to me. And there's your war. There's your World War III. One can argue the World War III has already started. This is, besides the shenanigans that are going on in the Middle East between that country that calls itself Israel, that's not Israel, and the Palestinians, or the Chinese and their breakaway province of Taiwan. A lot going on out there. A lot of potential for chaos in a general war. Meanwhile, the United States is being invaded. Meanwhile, the United States is literally being invaded by millions, tens of millions of people. Which leads me into what else I want to talk. There's a lot of chaos going on in the world. And you've noticed the other day that AT&T was shut down, along with T-Mobile. Affected us out in Colorado Springs, too. What are you going to do about comms when comms go down? Or do you need comms? You don't think you need comms? Is that your cell phone always going to be there? When I grew up, we didn't have cell phones. Everybody had landlines. And sometimes you had party lines. You pick up the phone and somebody else is talking on it, so you wait till they get done so you could have your turn. Or you could sit there and listen in on it if you wanted to. Party lines. And life got, we got by just fine. Life was just fine. There was no, progress didn't stop just because we didn't have cell phones. It was actually a better time. And if you talk to the loggers and the truck drivers, they might, they'd pony up and they get their CB radios. Awesome. There's no cell phones. They had CB radios if they needed to contact one another. So I got my ham radio license, and I play around with ham radio, and I've got my GMRS license, and I play around with GMRS a little bit. And of the two, well, they serve different purposes. General mobile radio service is awesome for a group of people that don't want to be ham radio operators, that don't want to take a test, they just want to pick up a device, push a button, and talk. GMRS, baby, all day, every day. It's inexpensive. Get a radio, handheld radio, for $80, sometimes a lot less. You don't have to take a test. One license is good for everybody in your household. Mom, dad, kids, grandkids, whoever you consider to be in your household. It's not a bad way to go. Range, it depends. I can hit repeaters 5-6 miles away and bounce, radius 5-10 miles around that. Unit to unit, it's a lot less. But it gives you an option. It gives you an option in this growing anarchy. We've got the illegals up here in Colorado Springs, too. Illegals are running all over the place. You see them on the streets and go, dude, you are a foreigner. You don't belong here. You don't belong here. You're an illegal alien. By the way, use those terminologies, and this is why I use terms such as tranny and sodomite and homosexual. Don't dignify something that ought not to be dignified. They're not irregular migrants. They're illegal and they're alien. The biggest war on your mind is their desire and ability to control your speech. It's funny how submissive we become. And we're at a stage where we have to become non-submissive. They're not illegal aliens, Fritz. They're human beings, and they have rights. They're irregular migrants. No, they're illegal aliens. Stuff it. They're, just because they have an alternative sexual identity doesn't mean you can demean them by calling them sodomites. No, they're sodomites, and they're trannies. Stop letting people normalize something in your mind. And I've said this 50 times. The biggest way we fight back is with the words that come out of our mouth. You got to fight back with the words that come out of your mouth. You got to say the forbidden things. You got to say the forbidden. And the church and the white folk won't say the forbidden. They won't do it. Well, somebody will call me racist or intolerant. And I'm not a racist and I'm not intolerant. I just love everybody. And you sign your own death warrant. Oh, there's not white genocide going on here. There's no white replacement. Yes, there is. There is. There's white replacement going on, and there's a white genocide going on. Genocide against the white race run by the Jews. Oh, but you can't say that. That's anti-Semitic. Why do you back up a people that have more power than anybody else on earth? I want to say 3% of all children under 18 are white. 3%. We're on the road to genocide, white genocide. And white folk and Christians are too afraid to open their mouth and offend the Jews. Here's another little subversive hint. You want to look at some subversive content, go to UNZ.com, UNZ. He's actually a Jewish guy that runs this thing, UNZ.com. You'll see some highly counter-narrative articles, but run by a number of people that are not just, many of them are factually based, many of the articles. I'm not there frequently, but I'm aware of it. The most counter-narrative thing you can read is the Holy Scriptures. I will say that, and I've said it, and that's why I preach the Holy Scriptures. The most counter-narrative thing you can do is read the Holy Scriptures. Read about the Tower of Babel, how God himself hated this global tyranny, the global government. He came down himself personally and destroyed it. He scattered the nations. He changed their languages so they could not all be one people. He didn't want them to be one people. He wanted to be many different ethnos, many different nations, many different races. And he enforced that by spreading them out across the face of the earth, giving them their own times and their boundaries, and literally changing their languages so they couldn't get along and communicate, and one couldn't dominate the other. God is a nationalist. Yes, God is a nationalist, and God is against globalism. Yes, I will say that. I told you I'd get you a theological argument to this. The only one world government will be when Jesus Christ literally is the Lord of every Lord and King of every nation. And he ain't showed up yet. So until that time, I will fight till my dying breath against an antichrist totalitarian government. That's right out of the book of Genesis. Christians, wake up. Pastors, preach this sermon. White folks, stop apologizing for your existence. White folk, you got to stop apologizing for your existence. And if you're not white, you need to tell the white folk the same thing. Because if you don't have the white folk influencing your society, you're going to end up with Haiti. You're going to end up with the border region in northern Mexico. It's just, I live there. Love the people, great people. But let me tell you something. You don't want to live there. They don't want to live there either. That's why they're coming over here. They want to live where the white people live. They want to live where the white people live. Why do you think all the Africans are going to Europe? They want to live where the white people live. Nobody wants to live where the Africans live or the Asians. Come on. Stop. Stop trying to have thoughts that your enemies approve of. Stop trying to limit your mind and your mouth from saying things that your enemies would disapprove of. Start saying to yourself, hey, I have real enemies. I have racial enemies. If you're a white man, your racial enemy is the Jew. The Jews say this out of their mouth. Go listen to the rabbis. Go listen to listen to Netanyahu or Ariel Sharon. They're very clear. They're very clear. They're only here to use and destroy the white race, the white Christian race. They're very clear about this. All the rabbis, go listen to them talk about Amalek and Edom. They're very clear about the racial destruction of the white race, explicitly so. I put some stuff up there a few weeks ago in a video that I did. White people, wait, I don't care if you're Christian or not. Wake up, you have a racial enemy. And they're advancing the destruction of your race in Europe and in North America and Australia and New Zealand. And, well, look what happened to the white race in South Africa. Look what happened there. You think that was done by act? You think that was done just by natural causes? People advocated for that. the usual suspects advocated for that, and they got billions and billions and billions of dollars to make that happen, and they own the press. World War III. It seems, I don't know, it's completely unrealistic that we're going to war with Russia. Yet it seems to be almost inevitable. It's just absolutely insane. We ship our weapons over there, our expertise, we offer training. I don't know. Some of you guys are guys out there, you're listening to me, and you've been in a fight or two. And maybe you're used to getting along and going along. But at a certain point, somebody pushes you a little too far. Not that it's ever, well, that has happened to me. And you turn on them. You turn on them and you go do what you got to do. Even if you're going to lose, you turn on them. And all of a sudden, everything changes. How much taunting can the Russians take? Now, you may say, well, the Russians deserve it and we need to destroy them. Okay, fine. If that's your position, that's a fine position to take. Do you think the Russians are just going to roll over because that's your opinion? The potential is here for this easily to go nuclear. Easily. Russia's been warning about it now for a long time. They said, we'll go there. We will go there. And you don't have to know much about male psychology to understand that, you know, with some men, you push them to a certain point, they're going to come out and they're going to cut loose. And they're going to say, okay, let's go. Win or lose, let's go. And I think that's true with nations as well. And then you throw in the theological aspect of the raging beasts raging against each other with no logic or rationality. Well, there you go. Can this be contained? I don't know. It seems to be growing. Are we looking at World War III? Yes. Will it go nuclear? I don't know. I hope not. I live at ground zero. I hope not. I've been working at multiple ground zeros. I know. These aren't really happy thoughts. And out of this mess, something new is going to emerge. Okay. And I guess my big hope is that my ideas are significant when this is all over. Because I'm flat out telling you, you cannot build a society that makes everybody happy. You can't. Not going to happen. We don't have one in the United States today. We're trying to be all so sensitive to and not be racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, and anti-Semitic. And we've created a mess of this country. And there's a certain group that tends to have most favored nation status, even though they have all the power. They're always the victim. I want to build white nations and Christian nations. I'm not going to apologize to that. If you're not white, you need to say yes, Fritz, go. We're with you because the alternative is something really, really, really bad. It's been the white and Christian nations that have brought the gospel to the rest of the world. It's been the white and Christian nations that have largely said, hey, you know what? We want other people to do well as well, and we've allowed other people to come in. But there's a desire by a certain portion of people to genocide the white race. Can't let that happen. Not on my watch. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com.